teeth. It just did.
Rincewind formed a mental picture of some strange entity living in a castle made of teeth. It was the kind of mental picture you tried to forget, unsuccessfully. He said. Red hats. He wondered whether to enlighten the tourist about what life was really like, when a frog was a good meal, a rabbit hole a useful place to shelter out of the rain, and an owl a drifting silent terror in the night. Moleskin trousers sounded quaint unless you personally had to remove them from their original owner when the vicious little sod was cornered in his burrow. As for red hats, anyone who went around a forest looking bright and conspicuous would only do so very, very briefly. He wanted to say, "Look, the life of gnomes and goblins is nasty, brutish, and short. So are they." He wanted to say all this and couldn't. For a man with an itch to see the whole of infinity, Twoflower never actually moved outside his own head. Telling him the truth would be like kicking a spaniel. Said a voice by his foot. He looked down. The gnome, who had introduced himself as Swires, looked up. Rincewind had a very good ear for languages. The gnome had just said, "I've got some newt sorbet left over from yesterday." "Sounds wonderful," said Rincewind. Swires gave him another prod in the ankle.
"The other bigot, is he all right?"
he said solicitously. "He's just suffering from reality shock," said Rincewind. "You haven't got a red hat, by any chance?"
"Wheat?"
"It's just a thought."
"I know where there's some food for biggers,"
said the gnome.
"And shelter, too. It's not far."
Rincewind looked at the lowering sky. The daylight was draining out of the landscape, and the clouds looked as if they had heard about snow and were considering the idea. Of course, people who lived in mushrooms couldn't necessarily be trusted, but right now a trap baited with a hot meal and clean sheets would have had the wizard hammering to get in. They set off. After a few seconds, the luggage got carefully to its feet and started to follow. Psst! It turned carefully, little legs moving up in a complicated pattern, and appeared to look up.
"Is it good being joinery?"
said the tree anxiously.
"Did it hurt?"
The luggage seemed to think about this. Every brass handle, every knothole radiated extreme concentration. Then it shrugged its lid and waddled away. The tree sighed and shook a few dead leaves out of its twigs. The cottage was small, tumble-down, and as ornate as a doily. Some mad whittler had got to work on it, Rincewind decided, and had created terrible havoc before he could be dragged away. Every door, every shutter, had its clusters of wooden grapes and half-moon cutouts, and there were massed outbreaks of fretwork pine cones all over the walls. He half expected a giant cuckoo to come hurtling out of an upper window. What he also noticed was the characteristic greasy feel in the air. Tiny green and purple sparks flashed from his fingernails. "Strong magical field," he muttered. 100 million thaums at least." A thaum is the basic unit of magical strength. It has been universally established as the amount of magic needed to create one small white pigeon, or 3 normal-sized billiard balls.
End of CD 1.